John Hatter's here from Citizen Alert, and he's offered to give an update on what's happening with Yucca Mountain. And I just want to say that Citizen Alert has been extremely supportive, at least as long as I've been involved, and has been very active in helping with Treaty Ruby Valley issues, and in fact sent a formal letter to Senator Reid and Congressman Gibbons actually stating their full support of the treaty. So they've really, it's really been great.
I'm John Hatter, and I'm the Northern Nevada coordinator for Citizen Alert. I'm out of the Reno office, and it's been 2-3 years since I've been out here. I try to get out here when I can because I always love coming out to the land. I always love seeing Mary and Carrie and Corbin and gosh, all the folks that come out here. I just love it. And so thanks so much for putting this together and for me having an opportunity to be here because it's just wonderful. It sort of re-energizes me, that's for sure. Well, I got a couple things that I'm going to talk about regarding sort of nuclear-related issues. Citizen Alert's been working on nuclear issues for over 25 years. We've been around since 1975, and we'll be around for another 25 years, whatever it takes to motivate changes that need to happen. One thing I just wanted to clarify is, in terms of the Yucca Mountain issue, I don't know if everyone's... I just wanted to go through a very quick thumbnail of what this proposal is, just in case there's somebody, some folks here that are really new to the issue. And essentially, this is a proposal to build what the Department of Energy calls a repository, which we call a dump, at Yucca Mountain, which is within the Treaty of Ruby Valley territory. It's Shoshone land as well. And they're talking about what amounts to 77 tons of highly radioactive waste. And that's by law. It could be more than that, actually. In fact, I have suspicions that if the Department of Energy actually keeps moving on this thing, that they're going to actually want to put in much more than that, make it the site for everything for as long as possible. There are no plans for a second one of these at this point in time. So Yucca Mountain is the only one, the only game in town right now. There's a over on the table over there. There's a placard that shows all the places where the nuclear waste is right now. 72 commercial sites, 5 Department of Energy weapons sites, and 1 independent storage site, which is a similar facility like what they want to build on the Goshute land. But that independent facility is actually near a reactor. It's not too far from the reactor itself. One thing I also wanted to clarify is that there was a misconception that was put out, well, not misconception, a lie, essentially, that was put out by the nuclear industry that this would consolidate all the waste in one place and make it more secure, and that's baloney. As long as nuclear reactors are functioning, they have to have waste on site because they can't move it right away. It's so intensely radioactive, it has to cool down for usually about 5 years. So that's rubbish right off from the top. Moving the waste across country, which will require 24 years on the order of anywhere from 20,000 shipments if it's mostly done by rail to up to 50, 60, 70,000 shipments if it's done mostly by truck. And so some communities will see it, and of course Nevada will see shipments daily, 6 or 7 a day if it goes that way. That actually is more of a risk and security risk than where it is the reactors right now. So that information that was put out was rubbish. Another thing about this proposal is that the current plan is that this thing is supposed to operate, isolate the waste for 10,000 years. That's the current thinking. Now that's obviously not long enough because the waste will be radioactive for hundreds of thousands of years. So that in itself is actually wrong. And I'll get to that again later, but I just wanted to mention that briefly about Yucca Mountain. If you have any other questions, there is quite a bit of material I brought with me over there. There's information sheets. I brought a stack of some of the view graphs that I use when I go out and talk to community groups and so forth. So have a look at the stuff that's over there as well. What's the Department of Energy doing right now? Well, they're up to no good as usual. In April, the Department of Energy issued something called a Record of Decision, which is an official government document that was in the Federal Register notice that they want to use mostly rail to ship the waste, and they want to use what's called the Caliente Corridor to ship it through Nevada. So this is an official decision. And what they're doing, and the last such workshop on this is going to be in Las Vegas on May 17th, so it's coming up next week. And I have here, I'll pass this around, this is a picture I got at one of the DOE meetings, and it shows the route. So I'll pass this around. And there's a red line on that map, and that's the rail route from Caliente to Yucca Mountain, because Yucca Mountain does not have a rail spur. There's no way to bring it in by rail. It'd have to come in by truck. This is a 319-mile loop, and it will probably, the DOE is estimating it's going to cost $880 million. It's probably going to cost more like $3 or $4 billion. Usually the state's estimate come in closer to the truth than the DOE's estimates. So they're doing a series of meetings on this and asking for opinion. Now, what they're doing, this is a very specific legal process. It's called scoping. And the idea is, this is part of a National Environmental Policy Act process, where whenever an agency does an environmental impact statement, they have to go out to the public first and ask, okay, what should we study? What are the possible impacts? What are alternatives? You know, that kind of stuff. They're supposed to do that. And the idea is to bring forward as much information as possible when you create the report. I mean, it really is actually a very good process if it's done right, as usual, if it's done right. Unfortunately, the Nuclear Waste Policy, the National Environmental Policy Act of 1969 does not specify what is right. It doesn't give a lot of details. And the Department of Energy, in our opinion, is doing this the wrong way. They're doing a series of workshops where you come in, you look at their little posters, you talk to them one-on-one, and then you can give your comments to recorders. So there's no chance for the community as a group to sort of discuss and to get ideas from each other. We believe this is a deliberate attempt on the part of the Department of Energy to separate people, to avoid dissension, all that kind of stuff. Because typically in Nevada, when they've done hearings with a collective process, they've gotten a lot of static. And for good reason. Nevadans are sick and tired of it. But anyway, so that's the last ones in Las Vegas. The thing that's good about them is you can find out information about the route and so forth. I've got some comment cards here. I'll pass these around also. Start those around. And basically, I'm sorry I did not have a chance to type up our Citizen Alert's comments yet. It's been pretty crazy. And I didn't get a chance to do that to give you something to look at. But there's a couple points I will make. Is basically they're looking at a rail line through the southern part of Nevada. So you can think about, there's many things that come to mind that you might want to comment on. You know, how is it going to affect water resources? How is it going to affect the use of land, wilderness area, endangered species? These are all issues you can bring up. A couple things that are really important, I think, that you might mention in the card. One is that we want to see what's called a scoping report. Scoping report. So that after the Department of Energy is finished with this process, they will submit a document that contains all of the comments verbatim that were made by everybody in this process, along with their information. So it's basically a transparency issue. We have a chance to view either online or at a Department of Energy reading room what went into the scoping process. It's very important. So that's one thing you can put down there. You can also mention that you don't like the public workshop process. There's nothing wrong, in our opinion, with having little stations and information, but there needs to be a collective process as well. So that's another good comment on process you can make. That they definitely, when they do the draft, and when they come out with a draft environmental impact statement, which they will do in about a year if they continue with this, and they'll ask for comments on that. And there should be a collective process on there. So that's another. Those are two things you can definitely mention. There's a number of other things that can come up. We're also asking that there be a complete discussion of alternatives to this, not only this rail line, but the whole transportation scheme in general. This is an opportunity for the Department of Energy to study the transportation impacts the right way instead of the wrong way, the way they did it before. So you can make a comment about, we want to see a complete analysis of alternatives. We want to see a reworking of the risk analysis. It turns out that the Department of Energy is not bound by current regulations about how they ship the waste. All the radioactive waste from reactors is supposed to be shipped according to Nuclear Regulatory Commission process, protocols, and so forth. But the Nuclear Waste Policy Act, which is the law that governs this whole process, says nothing about the DOE following those except that they have to use containers certified by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. That's it. And one of the things that's come up recently is that the Department of Energy has been negotiating with the utilities that they might actually ship waste that's more radioactive than the waste that was analyzed in the environmental impact statement that came out 2 years ago. If that's the case, they need to do it over. Because if it's more radioactive, it's more hazardous, so on. And, you know, there's no definite on this, but we've understand through our little birds that there are these negotiations going on. So we want to see a reworking of that. So those are a couple ideas. If you have any other questions, just ask me. The cards, I believe it requires a regular stamp due to the size. I was going to do the other side, but, I want to make sure people had enough room. But all you have to do is put a stamp on it. Or if you put your comments on there, you can just put it on the back table, and I will mail it for you. Either way. So that's one thing. That's one thing that they're doing. Another thing that's happened is that a number of legal cases on Yucca Mountain were heard in January of this year. The state of Nevada has several cases. There's also a case involving the EPA standards for Yucca Mountain. Basically, DOE studies the site, would build it if it gets licensed. Nuclear Regulatory Commission says you can build a site because they submit a license, but the EPA provides the radiation standards over the 10,000-year period. And that's one of the points of contention with the EPA standards, is that 10,000-year period is arbitrary. And in fact, the National Academy, this is a very interesting point, the National Academy of Sciences put out a report in mid-90s saying that the standard should be at least 100, maybe 300,000 years. That's the National Academy of Sciences. That's what the EPA was supposed to follow in the law in 1992. So we think it's quite likely that the EPA standard may go back to the EPA. And if it does, it's going to cripple the project, probably beyond its ability to recover. So what we're anticipating in this event is that the Department of Energy will motivate laws to get around this standard, rewrite the law. So keep a heads up for that. Certainly if we catch any wind of that, we'll let you know, but you might want to keep an eye out for that possibility. The decision on these legal cases will probably be sometime this summer. And either way, whichever way it goes, most likely there'll be appeal to the Supreme Court. One of the cases has to do with a constitutional challenge, that Nevada's being singled out, that kind of equal footing on the Constitution. That'll definitely go to the Supreme Court. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. Some of the other ones may or may not, but there will probably be litigation challenges on appeal. So that's some of the things that are coming up around the litigation. But the EPA standard, when these cases were tried in Washington, that's the one that got the judge's attention, the EPA one. That was the one where the DOE lawyers looked the stupidest. Or actually, I guess it was the EPA lawyers in that case. They couldn't really argue very well because the National Academy of Sciences had this report out, which they were supposed to follow. The other thing about the EPA standards is that there's a point around where you measure the water and the air to see if the dump is in compliance with the standard. It's like a fence post around a property. And it should be uniform around the property, but it's not. It sort of has this funny little fishtail at the bottom. And that's because, and the reason for that is because of the water problem. As the water flows in it, they're hoping to dilute the waste. Ultimately, Yucca Mountain will leak. The contamination will get in the groundwater. The Department of Energy knows it. And they're trying to devise ways of avoiding the problem. So they're providing a boundary that allows more dilution of the radionuclides, of the radioactivity, so that hopefully it will pass muster. And I should point out that all of this passing muster, we won't know until it actually happens. Our ancestors will be the ones that are going to pay the price. So it's all based on computer modeling and a lot of complicated analysis, which, quite frankly, I don't trust. I think it can be a useful tool, but it shouldn't be the major decision maker here. So anyway, the cases are at hand, and any one of them could really severely cripple the project. And the EPA one, we think, is a likely one to get sent back for sure. The others, we're not so certain about. The Department of Energy's timeline on Yucca Mountain is to submit a license application in December of this year. There are, and of course, this process has been going on already with the PSF. We heard about that earlier, the Goshute, or PFS. I said it right. Yeah, okay, yeah, thanks. With the Atomic Licensing Safety Board. For Yucca Mountain, it's going to be a little bit, the process is a little bit different, but it essentially amounts to something very similar. And what we can do is we can enter what's called contentions, where we say, well, we don't like this, and this is why. And we're planning, Citizen Alert has been planning to do this, but we're trying to figure out the best way that we can make use of what the state isn't going to do. Because the state has lawyers and they got money to do that, but we want to do something that's outside of their realm and so we can cover the bases. And one thing that they're not doing is the treaty issue. I'm not sure, and we've had some discussions already about this, and we need to have more discussions about how this treaty issue can be used in this process. Because it's within the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, agency of the federal government. So from my looking at the process, I don't think that we're actually going to be able to get our foot in the door with the treaty issue, but that doesn't mean that we're still not going to try. However, there may be other ways of using it. I think it might be a good opportunity to bring the issue forward also. You know, even if it's not a useful contention for licensing, it may be useful in terms of more awareness about the land issue in general. So, I mean, we're planning to do what we can with it. But I'm interested in any ideas that people have on this one. But it's an internal process. So, and I'm not sure if the Organization of American States ruling, I'm not sure how much impact that will have either. Because, again, it's an internal governmental process. But we're working on it. So that's coming up. They may not even make that deadline. If the legal cases string them out, they're probably not going to submit the application till later anyway. I mean, if the EPA standard gets sent back, they'll have to redo either way. One thing I wanted to point out is, according to the DOE's timeline that they publish at these meetings for scoping, was that they're planning to do a land withdrawal in 2007. And that's like official withdrawal of land, so no public access, in 2007. So that's what they're looking at in terms of what they think they're going to be able to do. The Department of Energy is still talking about opening the repository in 2010. However, nuclear industry analysts are now saying 2015, and we'll see. That's if there are no surprises, quote unquote, which undoubtedly there will be. So those are some of the things that's going on with Yucca Mountain. A couple other issues related to it is that unfortunately I don't have an information sheet on this, but on our website we do have an action alert on it, www.citizenalert.org, on high level waste reclassification. This is a process that the DOE is kind of behind the scenes working on, which could have implications across the country. It matters of being able to ship waste in a way, highly radioactive waste in a way which is more dangerous than the way they ship it now. So you might check out our website about that reclassification issue. It would be a serious change to the current law. There's also issues around compensation for people working in the nuclear industry. And one thing that's come up recently is a silicosis discovery at the Yucca Mountain project. Apparently, the Department of Energy had not issued proper respiratory equipment for people that are working in the tunnels, and it's possible they could have gotten exposed to high levels of silicon dioxide, which creates what's called a silicosis condition. This has actually got Senator Reid quite upset because his father died of silicosis as a mine worker, as a miner. So he's really hot on the trail of that, but that's something that's happening. This is just another example of how the Department of Energy has failed to really provide adequate protection in general across the complex. I'm going to pass out a couple of these other things. There's two here. Was mentioned earlier about the what they call dry cask. They want to put it in private fuel storage. Well, here's a picture of what that stuff looks like. And so I'll pass this picture around and take a look at what that looks like. Dry cask storage is actually what we're advocating for at reactor, to store at the reactor. However, what we want to see is these containers reinforced. We want to see almost like a cement bunker established around them so that they are so that they're not as vulnerable to terrorist attack and that sort of thing. The plan for the Goshi is a very dangerous scenario because they would be right out in the open with very minimal security. Oh, here's another one. Also, too, I wanted to pass. There's another one here that I wanted to pass around, which talks about how different waste routes that are being that were originally considered in Nevada. So this includes the Caliente corridor. It also includes a corridor which is called the Carlin corridor. Very important because that comes almost right through here, right down through here, and it's actually their second, number two. If this doesn't work, if the Caliente one is too expensive, which is very possible. It has too many complications, which is very possible because it goes through three routing ranges. They will opt for this, probably this Caliente corridor. So that directly, Carlin corridor, which directly impacts the communities through here. So this map right here shows all the different rail routes they were considering, and you can see where it would come. And one other thing I'll pass around for you to look at is what transportation casts look like. There's a picture of a sketch of one that they want to use for Yucca Mountain. Why do I only have a sketch? Because they're not built yet. But guess what? They are licensed. This is a big point of contention. The public has said for years, you've got to do full-scale testing in order to license these containers. We want to see you actually do the physical tests on the container that you would be using to transport the waste. The NRC has resisted this, and they still have not made any changes. However, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission announced just last week that they will be doing full-scale testing. But, unfortunately, from our perspective, it looks like it's a public relations exercise. In the 1970s, they did what we call crash-and-burn tests. They put a cask on a rail car and slammed it into a brick wall, and, wow, that looks fantastic, and holy cow, that thing is really great. Well, they're probably going to do they're planning to do the same kind of test. But I should point out that these tests are not regulatory. They just look good. So in other words, it doesn't verify that the current regulations on CAS testing are correct. It won't verify any of the computer models that they used to license the CAS. It will provide no useful or very little useful scientific information or very useful information about what we've been asking for years. So unfortunately, we see that we see the Nuclear Regulatory Program as being basically just a circus. So it'll look good, look impressive, but it won't satisfy the general public concerns that we've had. And what I have here is, pass that around. It's got a couple pictures, of an actual cask on there too. So those are some things that are happening with Yucca Mountain. I was also going to mention with the Nevada test site issues, following up on what Pete had mentioned earlier. The modern pit facility, which we have a picture of what the pits look like, that's an enormous step towards developing new nuclear weapons. It's really, and internationally, this is seen as internationally, it's definitely seen that way. This is a very dangerous move on the part of our government, a very aggressive move. And Nevada Test Site is one of the locations considered for this. What they call a pit facility. And basically what it amounts to is making these plutonium orbs, which is the center of the bomb. That's the very beginning of it. And each pit of a nuclear weapon, the plutonium orb, is essentially equivalent to the bomb used on Nagasaki. So they are a weapon in themselves. And, of course, they make it even better, so to speak, with the surrounding material. So they want to actually build more of these, and yet there are plenty of these pits around. So we've submitted comments. We have our comments online on this facility. But it's an ongoing issue to definitely be aware of. The other one that Pete brought up was the nuclear-powered bunker buster. This one really affects us here at home a lot in Nevada in particular because guess where they would test this weapon? Yeah. Nevada test site, folks. Now, what the Department of Energy is saying is, oh, we're not going to do any nuclear explosions. You don't have to worry. Well, the reason for that is because this weapon's ridiculous. What it has to do is it has to penetrate at least 200 feet through essentially a bedrock material, explode underground to destroy something. So the physics of actually getting that thing that far underground and getting it to work is not even close. So that's why they're saying it right now. That's why they're saying they're not going to do anything, because the physics isn't there. It's a very difficult weapon to develop. Number two, though, is that from a military perspective, if you actually have this weapon, you're going to want to test it to see how it works. That you talk to any military strategist and they'll tell you the same thing. They're going to want to test it to see how it works. They want to know how much residual radioactivity is going to be there before they send their troops in. So it's baloney that they're not going to do a nuclear test on this thing if they actually develop it. That's baloney. Furthermore, when this weapon penetrates into the earth, it's going to create a tunnel, a chimney. So when it explodes, when they do the test, it will vent in the atmosphere, period. So this will violate all of the test ban moratorium, which we're already not really quite honoring anyway. It will violate our treaties. It's really way outside. So and this is something to be well aware of. So this nuclear penetrator weapon is a serious problem. And I think it's something we can garner a lot of support with downwinders and people around that have dealt with these issues, because it will vent if they do a test, for sure. And they're going to want to do one eventually with this weapon, definitely. So just a couple of points on that. Also, I just want to mention I have a clipboard over there if you want to be on Citizen Alert's action alert list. Please, you know, sign up on that. We can get you on, see by email. Or we don't do the phone thing so much anymore, but feel free to put your phone number down there if you want to, or as well. So that's my speech. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them now or anytime. Thank you. No, you're absolutely right. Carrie asked the question for the mic here. Is there something we can do about these so-called public workshops that don't involve a collective process? And the problem is that they don't really have, like, a microphone to take over, because they don't do a presentation either. I wasn't able to sort of organize it this time for these hearings because they came up so quickly and so forth. But I think the way to do it is if you find out enough in advance, and even a couple weeks is good enough, is to get out your mailing list or your action list and say, at this time, in this public workshop, we are going to do a public hearing. So organize a specific time at that hearing, and bring your own microphone, bring your own chairs, and do it. That's what I would do. And I think that's what we should do in the future. The question was regarding the budget funding for the Department of Energy being reduced by 75%. And this is something that Senator Reid has been doing for years, is trying to chop where he can and sort of slow down the process. It's possible that if John Kerry gets elected, that could really change the complexion of the Yucca Mountain Project, because he actually voted against it in Congress. So it that could be some big changes if he gets elected. So, you know, encourage people at least to vote for him for that reason, if nothing else. And it's unclear whether or not if he doesn't get elected, what's going to happen with the budget issues. There is some serious pushing on the Yucca Mountain Project from this administration.
But it's more in Utah, there's a thing put together called DOMT, Downwinders Opposed to Nuclear Testing. And it's composed of people from Physicians for Social Responsibility, the progressive wing of the Utah State Democratic Party, the Green Party. Shonda Hynelwick's been asked to participate in this poll. And what they've been doing is they've been putting together city council meetings on the question of resumption of full-scale nuclear testing, on the testing of the robust nuclear earth penetrator, the bunker buster. And they've been incredibly effective at getting city and county councils to pass resolutions opposing this resumption. Of course, you know, whatever strength that has, it does an awful lot to galvanize public. And there was one other thing, helping to organize these county councils. Oh, another thing that they're doing is they're producing press packets, this Downwinders Opposed to Nuclear Testing Coalition, that are pretty comprehensive. They have all the fact sheets, and they get them into these councils' hands, and then they get them out to the public. And one thing that they really want information on, and this is why they asked Shundai Network to participate, and this is why we want to help develop this within communities, is they want information about the Treaty of Ruby Valley. They want that to be an integral part of the information they get out. Congressman Jim Matheson, who's a Democrat in the state of Utah, has also introduced a bill to block the resumption of full-scale nuclear weapons testing at the Nevada test site. And he's really doing a lot right now to support that. He held a town hall meeting in Salt Lake City, Utah, at the University of Utah. And when we brought to his attention at this town hall meeting the question of the Treaty of Ruby Valley, we actually also spoke with him about the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights report explaining
what's happening in North Sogobia with the violations of due process and equal protection under the Constitution, and gave him some fact sheets and some information about the treaty and how this might impact the Nevada test site. He was really very interested in that and took a lot of information. So on the question of resuming full-scale nuclear weapons testing, I know at least through talking to Congressman Matheson and through his response, he had basically said that if we could get him information about the way that the Treaty of Ruby Valley could leverage the Nevada test site, and it could be demonstrated that human rights violations are being committed in the service of America's weapons of mass destruction. And I mean, this is a story that if it's told and told to the right people in the right way, you know, the treaty could really, I think, go a long way in convincing Congress people who have a heart and a conscience and, you know, send some sense of a relationship with the Creator and our Mother Earth. I think we could go that way with it too.
I have a follow-up on the Matheson bill. Actually, what it calls for is congressional approval to do testing. So it doesn't really block, but it makes it a lot harder. Because right now the president can just kind of, you know, like, yeah, let's do it. So and it also has also in it provisions on education regarding downwinder information and the iodine fallout and so forth. So there's some good stuff in that bill. There are a few problem areas, and I can't quite remember what they were, but there's a few glitches to it. But it's a good step, I think.